Well, would you pray with me as we hear God's word this morning? Heavenly Father, we know, well, we all know that there are impurities in our own hearts, that we are prone to want things that we shouldn't want. So we ask that you would come through your word this morning and sanctify us, make us holy by your truth, for your word is truth. Amen. So one time, a young freshman in college picked a chair, a seat right next to a 26-year-old single mom. He struck up a conversation with her about the grace of God and the cross of Jesus Christ. And he didn't know it at the time, but that woman really needed that conversation, because not only was she a single mom and she was financially strapped, but she was involved in a relationship with somebody, an unhealthy one. The man and his friends, this college kid, they befriended her. They would come over and watch her kids, play with her kids while she got some work done, and they would take the time to talk with her, tell her more about the good news of Jesus. One of his friends was playing in a local band at a church, and so they said, well, hey, you want to come with us to church, or come with us to watch my friend play in his band? They knew it was a church service. She didn't. She thought it was a concert. It was a little bit shady, but you know, it worked. They got to the church. The minister stood up and said, hey, today we're going to be talking about our sexual life or our sexual activities. And he held up a rose and said, you're like this rose. And it was beautiful. He said, smells beautiful, doesn't it? Just beautiful. And he says, oh, you got to smell this. And so he threw it out into the people and said, you got to smell the rose. And they started passing the rose around. And then he went on to give one of the most horrific sermons, treatments of what the Bible says about that part of our lives. It was one of those sermons with a lot of yelling and screaming and a point where he says, you know, do you want to have those diseases? And this man, you know, this young college student went on to become a well-known, a good pastor. And so, you know, we take his word on this fairly seriously. And eventually the minister started to wrap it up, and he said, oh, hey, so the whole time the man's sitting there thinking, you know, what are you doing? What are you saying? And he's wondering what the woman next to him is thinking. And he says, okay, I need my rose back. And he holds up, he gets his rose, a little boy over here, you know, he brings up the rose, and the rose is broken over, the petals are all shredded, the leaves have all fallen off. He holds up the rose and he says, who would want this rose? And anger swells in the heart of that college freshman. He says, Jesus wants the rose. Right? That's the whole point of the gospel, that when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus wants the rose, right? We are all more broken, more alone, more sinful than we really know, whether that's because of our activity in that area of our life or other things, and we feel that aloneness because we actually are. Jesus promises hope and healing, cleanliness and restoration to each of us. It's not an easy path. It's a challenging path. The path to restoration is painful. But will you walk with me today a path, if as painful as it might be, the painful path to restoration, so that we can find peace with the people around us? See, most of us resist purification, don't we? Most of us resist purification. I've yet to have somebody come to me and say, Pastor, I'm really excited. I'm just really excited in my life because I'm having problems with my spouse. My marriage is not going well. We're having challenges, but I'm really excited to work on it. It's going to be great. Nobody ever says that, right? Nobody has ever said to me, come to me and said, Pastor, I'm really pumped because I can't get along with my neighbor. I just can't stand my neighbors. I don't like them. I'm looking forward to talking to you and learning how I can love my neighbors more. Nobody has ever come to me and said, hey, Pastor, you know, I am I am so happy right now because I am having conflict with this other person in my life, but I know that if I come to you and I get the gospel, that I am going to be able to push through that conflict. Nobody does that, right? We all resist purification. Nobody likes it. But the path to purification, as painful as it might be, is an incredible thing. And Jesus lays it out for us a number of times in the Bible. Here's John. John says in 1 John 1 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, this passage is so great, right? Because it says that we are forgiven. It starts with the cross of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. He took all of the sins. And when he rose from the dead, he rose for everybody, for the whole world. He took all of those. And that has changed how God looks at the world. He calls everybody to believe him. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, then everything Jesus won on the cross belongs to you. Eternal life is yours. Forgiveness is yours. Life now is yours. These things are yours. And after that point in time, everything else becomes what John calls purification, purifying from all unrighteousness. It's everything else becomes, I could say, putting on the clothes of Jesus Christ. You just have to grow into the clothes. We've all seen people in our lives, haven't we, that are wearing clothes that are too big for them? Have you ever had to wear clothes maybe even that are too big for you because they belong to somebody else? We just got to grow into those clothes. And maybe you even know somebody who lost a little weight and so they don't fit in their clothes, or maybe they shrunk a little, right? And they need to grow back into their clothes. Whatever we do after Jesus dies for us, we're growing back into the clothes that God has given us. Now, that's not an easy thing to do. Paul tells us how hard it is to grow into our clothes. Maybe you've heard this before. The man named Paul in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 12, says that God gave him a thorn in his flesh, right? A messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." See, there was no straight and easy road, was there, for Paul to grow into the clothes of Jesus. He needed to grow in grace. God had to give him a thorn and leave that thorn in his life so he could grow into that grace. Now, I think we all probably recognize that this is just part of life. But we don't necessarily accept it, right? We can't embrace it. And yet, even social psychologists and social thinkers will tell us that the best thing to grow, to get purified in this way, is to embrace it. Maybe some of you have heard of or follow a research professor in Texas named Brené Brown, and she's kind of famous for telling us this, that we need to accept these things. She says, "I believe that you have to walk through vulnerability to get to courage. Therefore, embrace the S," and the word ends with "uck." It's not easy, is it, to grow into the clothes that God has given us? It's a chore. So there's this whole hard process. And that's why even the writer to the Hebrews says, hey, you and I, we have to endure discipline as children. But, right, we do endure it because God is treating you as his children. You know, I've never found anybody who likes discipline. I've never enjoyed an annual review. I've never had one of these pastoral conversations with somebody where I'm saying to them, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that. That was such a good time that afterwards we all hugged and said, oh yeah, you're right, this was wonderful. It just doesn't happen. But there's one thing that makes all the difference for you and for me to endure discipline. We're doing it as children. If we were just slaves in this world, we'd have no expectation of an inheritance. We can't expect a salary and benefits that we will get anything in the end. But if we're children, the house is ours. We can't ever get kicked out of it, can we? We can always belong in that house. The inheritance will be ours until the day we die. We're children. And I think this is why then even James, who was the brother of Jesus, he probably scorned and mocked Jesus in his life. We know that in the beginning of Jesus' life, the brothers didn't agree with Jesus. But even James, he learned so that he could write this near the end of his life. He said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I want you to think about that for a minute, right? James says that he wants you to be not lacking anything. If you, I don't know, you know, all of you and all of the things that you might be lacking in your life. I know some of you are probably lacking some things. If you don't embark on a process of purification, you're going to be lacking something your whole life. You got to work through this so that God can bring you into the person that you are meant to be, that God made you to be. Grow into those clothes. And like I said, you know, nobody has ever said to me, "Pastor, I'm just so excited because I can't get along with my neighbors. They're really hard people to love. And I'm excited to learn with you and from you how I can learn to love them more." But you know what a lot of people have said to me over the years? They said, "You know, this is really hard. This is really hard what we're going through right now in life. I don't know if we can do this. And I don't see good that is coming from it. But I believe God is doing something good in me." You can accept to this purification. You can accept going through purification if you believe that God is doing something good in you. Maybe you'll never get to the point of saying, "I'm so excited about this." But you can get to the point of saying, "I accept it." So that's accepting purification. Now we can endure it. How do we endure purification? You know, this is kind of like going to counseling. You know, when you go to counseling, the counselor says this is what's going to happen so that you can understand the process a little bit better and handle it as you go. And so also God says, "Here, this is how purification is going to work for you so you can handle the process a little bit better." Malachi tells us how the process of purification is going to work. There's kind of a lot of words here, so we highlighted a few of them. But Malachi says this, "I'll send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver." So let's follow this through just for a moment. It starts with, there's a first messenger, right? It says a messenger, "I will send a messenger." And that first messenger historically is a man we call John the Baptist. We heard about him in our gospel reading there from Luke. Then that messenger prepares the way for a second messenger. And that messenger is Jesus Christ. See, this is telling us Christmas, right? It's the story of Christmas. But there's something else going on here too. This is the reason why I can say to you that God is purifying you even right now. Because there's something here called prophetic perspective, we call it. Prophetic perspective. And it simply means that the end of all of this, this is true, this is a true statement about the end of all things when Jesus Christ will return again. And this is also a true statement in our lives now. Each time God brings the message of God to you, then the Lord comes to you and he purifies you. What does that look like? God shows us something really important here about ourselves. We tend to think that when we have problems in life, it's because we're doing something wrong. When I can't do a good job raising my children, it's because I don't know all of the right skills to raise kids. When I can't succeed in my job, when I'm not successful enough, it's because I don't have either the right skills or the right abilities to do a really great job. Or when I can't handle the conflict with the people around me, when I get into conflict, well, it's because I don't have the right abilities to deal with the people. See, but do you see what the Lord says here about how the problem really is? See, there's some truth to the fact that maybe we don't have the right skills. Maybe we're just not that kind of person that we can excel enough. But God says, really the problem is what you desire. Did you catch that? God calls the second messenger the Lord whom you desire. The issue is primarily what you and I want. Okay? The issue with us and how we get along in life, the issue with us and how we fit in our situations, the issue with us and what we can feel is successful or not. Some people will call it expectations. Jesus goes so far as to say, no, it's what you desire. There's a sociologist who's done a whole lot of work in this matter. His name is James Smith, and his basic point is to say, you know, we're not thinking people. We're not even believing people. We are primarily and fundamentally loving people. You are what you love, is the point that Smith makes for us. And that's why God gets in really deep to us, and he doesn't just change the way we act. That's not how God wants to purify you. God purifies you by changing what you love. Did you catch that? In Malachi 3 here, especially in verse 2, he says, he will be like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. And I love that because God doesn't say that he is bringing a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He says he will be like a refiner's fire. This isn't your mom bringing Tide to wash your clothes or wash you off. No, God says he is the Tide. Right? God is the Tide, and he's going to put that deep in you, and he's going to change what you love and what you want in life. Martin Luther said it for us, and actually he said it really well about this. So let me just read what he said. He said, Christ is not merely the purifier, but also the purifying agent. He's not only the blacksmith, but he's also the fire. He's not only the cleaner, but he's also the soap. He does not sit quietly at the right hand of his Father. Rather, he is always working among us vitally, effectively, and uninterruptedly. As he is spread over his body, as fire is applied to metal. So he is elsewhere called salvation and not just savior. That is, he is salvation itself and the laboratory of salvation. This is what Christians sense. They have less affection for wealth. They are less afraid of death. They disregard everything secular. The power to do this is the fire and the soap. What's really going to purify us in life is not job loss or car accidents or conflict with fellow workers. When you're angry, what you need is somebody to absorb your anger and give you love. When you're disappointed, what you need is somebody to absorb your loss and give you hope. When you're afraid, what you need is somebody to absorb your insecurity and give you safety. And when you are uncertain, what you need is somebody to absorb your uncertainty and provide you clarity. That's what God will give you. That's what God does give you. by placing Jesus Christ deep in you. There is only one person who can absorb all of your desires. It's the man who took them on himself, who took them to the cross. And then he can give you back real, whole, healthy, good loves. That's the power of purification. You know, in my own life, I think I've seen that it works just like this. I've had my own share of tough things. Not a ton. I've lived a relatively blessed life, I feel. You know, but there's car accidents, there's job loss, there's conflict with people. The time that I really get purified, when I make a self-deprecating joke to some people and those people love me enough to look at me and say, "That's not funny. Why are you so mean to yourself like that? We love you." The time that I really get purified is when I say publicly to a group of people, "You know, people do love me, I think." And they don't laugh at me. They say, "Aw." When some people, an individual and a whole group of people from thousands of miles away say, "I pray for you every day." God takes away the painful desires and he puts back love. That's the power of purification. God will change away your pain and put back love. So here's what I ask you to do today. Do you know how to recognize if you have purified your heart with the gospel? We know we've purified our hearts with the gospel when we can love other Christians without deceit, without slander, without hypocrisy or envy. So I want you to think about one person, or maybe a group of people, that you know you should love, but you can't. You can't love them without slander or hypocrisy or deceit or malice. And if you say that there's nobody in your life, either you've already been purified through and through and you can just go home, or maybe you're lying to yourself. Think about that person. Because God's power, the power of refining fire and laundering soap, is already in you. You're only growing into the clothes that God has already put on you. And you will see that purified people live in peace with the people around them. Let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, we hate to admit it, we hate to confess it, but our hearts very often are so full of pain, brokenness, and hurt that it's really hard to love the people around us. We have a hard time doing it without slander or malice or envy or deceit. So we ask you to forgive us and give us more of the purifying power of your love. When we see how much you have loved us, how you've poured your love into us, then we will live at peace with the people around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.